Tonight, I want to share a little bit where we've been with this revelation with Jacob. We've been praying into this heavily. When God leads you, especially in this house, he's been leading us by his word. We've been on a journey for quite some time, last 12 years, especially journeying into the right hand of God. We follow his word. His word's the only way we follow, because we're following these realms of God that he opens by his word. And as he opens his word into these realms and we follow, we start moving in these dimensions. Well, he's brought us all the way. I mean, you can mark it, man, when you're following him like this, you can mark exactly where you are, because he'll mark it for you in scripture. Because a lot of people, you know, they have to wait to see it to know that we're following something, but we've been following the invisible realm for quite some time, but it's not invisible to us. It's quite visible. Amen. But it's going to begin manifesting here in this realm. And that's what we're, of course, all looking for, waiting for kingdom of heaven to come down into the earth, the fullness of the kingdom of God and that hundredfold glory. And it's such a powerful picture, Jacob's life, of this whole dimension, because he too was following the same thing. And when we see that God first approached him in Genesis 28, and that's where he had the open heaven and Jacob's ladder, and God opened, that was at first at Bethel. And he says, I'm going to bring you back here, and I'm going to be with you the whole time until I fulfill everything I'm saying to you today. And he begins to speak to him. He does this Abraham thing with him, the same thing he did with Abraham when he takes him before his face. And as he walks him before his face, he speaks in past tense, because he's not speaking to him where he's at. He walks him out through his generations like he did Abraham. And Romans even confirmed that God was doing that. He said, as the scripture says, a father of many nations, I have made thee. Not going to make you, I have made thee. He's not speaking to him where he's at. He's actually walking him up into his own self, into the realm of the father that is to come, or the face of God, the Panim, Penuel. All, both of those words mean the face of God. And as he began to speak to him in chapter 28, this is actually the literal translation of what he says to him, because he's going to take him through this operation of God that we see played out in the book of Acts. And we also going to see it played out in this last day crowning of the church. God has a system, if you want to say it. He has protocol. When he rolls something out, he's going to roll it out by divine protocol. The first was going to be promise, and then he's going to pick up that promise, and he's going to commission it. And then once he commissions it, he's going to bring it and roll it out. Well, we see all this with Jacob. And what he says to him in Genesis 28, verse 14 especially, you get this from the Young's literal translation to understand what he says. He's walking him. He appears to him in a dream on Jacob's ladder, but then he speaks about his future, but he's actually taking him out into his future like he did Abraham. And this is how he said it. It's important, because he did the same thing with Abraham. Now he's doing it with Jacob, because he is seeing to it that he is going to pronounce the blessing over his seed all the way to Christ. He's going to bring him all the way to Christ, and he's going to pronounce the blessing over him. This is the initial blessing, or it's the initial word that he's given him. And he says, thy seed has been as the dust of the land, and has broken forth westward, eastward, northward, southward, and all the families of the earth have been blessed in thy seed. What he's actually doing is he's speaking to Christ through his seed. He's confirming that Christ is coming through your seed. I'm bringing it through you, and it has been. And he says, lo, I'm with you, and I've kept thee whithersoever thou goest. Notice that. He hadn't even gone anywhere. And he goes, I've kept you whithersoever you goest. Because he has gone somewhere. That's the thing about the face of God. You actually do move in the face of God a long time before it moves here in the natural. And he says, and I have caused thee to turn back to this ground. You see how he's saying, he goes, I've already blessed you. Thou has been a blessing. Thy seed has been blessed. His seed has been multiplied. I've gone with you whithersoever you goest. Now, you're not going to read that in the King James. When you get the literal does this. It's the same thing with Abraham. It spoke the same way. Spoke in the past tense. And he said, it has been caused thee, I've caused thee to turn back to this land. And I have kept thee until I've surely done all that I've spoken of. But he says, I've caused you already to turn back here. And he hadn't even gone anywhere. So he begins him with this word. And then, of course, Jacob walks this word out, goes to Laban's territory, spends 20, 21 years in Laban, comes back. And as he comes back, we pick this up because this is where everything is converging right now. This is where we've been this week. He comes back. He's not back to Bethel yet, but he says, I'm going to bring you right back here to Bethel, and I'm going to fulfill everything I've spoke to you today because I've already taken you out. Once God does that, when he does something like this in the face of God, where he walks you out and speaks, he's not actually speaking past tense. We only think he is. He's actually present tense because he's walking him out. Thy seed hath been blessed. It's already been blessed because he already took him to the place where he already multiplied him. Once he did that, God set in motion all that was going to happen. When we learn to get into this flow or this operation of God, and he's teaching us this realm, it's called the face of God, Penuel, or the Panim. It's the operation. Once these things are spoken from that realm and God walks you out, it is finished. Well, the same way with God, he's already spoken over our generation. He's spoken a lot of things about the future of the church right now. He has spoken them already in his word as a finished position. He's already had men witness that finished position in an eyewitness testimony. John saw it as done. He already said it would be laid, it would be finished, it would be brought out. So God has already spoken our future for us. Amen? That's awesome because he set it in motion. What we're doing is connecting into that. But now God has brought us to this realm called the land of Penuel. We're in the land of Penuel. That's the face of God. He takes him to the face of God. And this is where Jacob makes his stand. This is where we are corporately, by the way. And man, we are up in that realm. But I love this place because he's not back to Bethel yet, but God has approached him here and they're wrestling. You're going to wrestle in this realm, but this is the realm where God reveals himself face to face. The first thing he saw God, he said, this is the house of God. He saw him in a dream. He moved it from a dream, vision, promise realm to reality realm. Say reality realm. He moved it to eyewitness. See, God told the disciples in the early church, he said, wait for the promise of the Father. He's standing before them in an eyewitness state. He says, now wait for the promise of the Father. You're going to be my witnesses, but wait for the promise. I'm going to endue you with power. Amen? But the Lord is standing with them in an eyewitness state. He fulfills the eyewitness testimony. That is a huge fundamental part. Whenever God is going to do something great in the earth, he's going to do it with eyewitness testimony. He did it with Moses. He did it with Solomon. He did it with the entire early church. Every single apostle of the early church saw the Lord. In fact, it was a prerequisite to see him. One must be ordained to be a witness. Even Matthias, when he took Judas's place, he had to bend them from the baptism of John until the Lord was taken up to be a witness. The whole church was born not just out of witnesses, but eyewitnesses. Because it's the highest level of testimony given to God. When God gets ready to do something, everyone, Jacob had it, Isaac had it, Abraham had it, Moses had it. The Bible said Moses wasn't standing in front of a burning bush. He looked upon the face of God in the burning bush. God was there in that burning bush. And so when God appears to man like this, he's getting ready to roll it out. That's what Penuel is. It's the place where God is going to make his appearance. Not promised appearance, the appearance. Not dream realm, eyewitness appearance. When the Lord walked into that room, the first thing he did with those disciples, he said, children, have you any meat? What did he want to eat with him? He says, I want to establish the fact you're not looking at a spirit here. You're looking at me. I am resurrected. I'm going to eat with you. And he's eating with them. He did this several times. He made them lunch one day when they're out on the boat. And Peter threw himself in the water. He had already had the coals of the fish. He's in a resurrected state doing this. And also, he says, now touch me. Touch me. I want you to know that that a spirit not have flesh and bones like me. He goes, listen, I am this resurrected king. He was establishing that testimony. The reason is because when eyewitness testimony is given, God is ready to roll out what's inside. He's getting ready to roll out the promise of God that he invested into Abraham, Isaac, and now Jacob. Jacob was a supplanter. He was a deceiver. God had to get that out of him. He spent a long time doing that, but he wrestled all the night long. We're going to wrestle and have wrestled with God, and the hip socket of the old man has to be dislocated. That's our sufficiency gets dislocated. The old man gets dislocated. That's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. But I don't mean you walking around a limp. The new man does not walk around with a limp. Amen? And you don't want your old man walking around, period. And so once that happens, a dislocation, God is going to roll something out. When God gets ready to roll a promise out, now in this, and he's about to roll it out, he's going to roll a whole nation out of him. He's going to roll a company of nations out of him. He's going to roll out a land named after him. He's going to roll out generations. He's going to roll it all the way to Christ. But before God does that, he has to make his appearance. And that's why Jacob called this Peniel, the face of God. This is the land of the face of God, because this is where God wrestled, because I have seen God face to face. Now, that is just like God appearing to the disciples, appearing to the apostles, making his appearance. Even Paul, he saw him. Every apostle saw the Lord. When God is going to roll out something of this magnitude, you get ready, because the appearance of the Lord is going to happen again, because he's going to establish this with eyewitness testimony. Because when God appears to man, he stands with you with what he's going to roll out. He's going to make sure you're ready. He's going to dislocate the old man. But when he gets ready to roll out what's inside, he's going to appear. He's done it with all, every one of the greats saw the Lord personally. It's just the way he rolls it out. It's his protocol. He's going to roll it out. Say, roll it out. That whole section, we carried this. I mean, we were receiving 10, 12 years ago. We were preaching about the eyewitness. We were preaching it again, and we preached it again, and we preached it again. He said, wait for the promise of the Father. You'll be endued with power. Amen? He goes, and behold, you'll receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you to be what? My witnesses. When did he actually say that to them? He said that to them in Luke 24. Acts chapter 2 is a fulfillment, but in Luke 24, he was standing in front of them when he said that. He goes, listen, wait for the promise of my spirit, and you're going to receive power to be my eyewitness. I'm going to roll out this New Testament church by way of eyewitness testimony. So you have his word, you have eyewitness testimony, and you have his spirit. That is the protocol of God. Jacob had his word, now he's establishing the eyewitness testimony, and he's about to take him to Bethel, where he's going to take nations and bring them right out of him. This is huge, amen? But it all happens right there. That's when he said, I will not let go of thee till you bless me. Because the blessing is where the Spirit of God descends, amen? The blessing for our generation is the crowning of the church. That's what we're waiting on. But we're waiting that God's putting it all together, not one thing. It's his word. It's the seven spirits of God. And it's the eyewitness testimony. And we can't leave this land until he does it. And we're not going to leave this land till he does it. But we're going to stand there like Jacob did and said, we will not let go until you bless us. So when you're speaking the blessing, we're in the land right now, having been led there by the Spirit of God. We're in the land of eyewitness testimony, the land of the literal. Now, we've been teaching about the face of God. We've been journeying in the face of God. We've been seeing where God appearing to man and what happens to them. But now we, the body of Christ, also are moving into the land of Peniel now. Amen? We're camped there. We pitched a tent there. It's not our ultimate destination, but there are things that have to happen. Just like before he rolled out the book of Acts, he appeared to them multiple times. Peter had six different appearances, some with the other guys, some alone. because he was establishing the protocol of that witness. That is going to happen. He appeared to 500 brethren at one time in the early church. He appeared to the entire upper room when Peter stood up and said, we are all eyewitnesses of these things. They had already seen the Lord. They were waiting on the promise. We're still waiting to see the Lord. We're waiting on the seven spirits of God. But we have this thing called his word. We have his word. We have the glory of his word. We have a finished word. We have a word that's already spoken over us. It's been already around for 2,000 years. A word that he already has done this. In fact, he has done it in heaven. We have someone who's already witnessed what God has done for our generation in heaven. John already saw it finished in an eyewitness encounter with the last days. That's awesome. That means it's finished. That means all we got to do is plug in. Amen. So we're standing there in the land of Penuel, and we're saying we will not. See, what we do is we go up into the right hand of God. See, you're already crowned on the right hand of God. You're already made joint heir in the right hand. You're already seated at the right hand of God. We go up in and get crowned. We get up into our seat. Then we stand before the Father and say, we're already crowned, Father. It's already happened here. Now thy will be done. All of this must be done. He that has the key of the house of David, he must open all of this and bring all of this down because he said he's going to do it. Reestablishing that house, establishing that throne, one he's going to sit on in the 1,000-year millennial reign, one he's going to testify to the world before we're lifted out of here. The greatest single move of God ever. But all of that is coming down to the earth. We're standing in the earth. Come on, let's see it. I will not, just like Jacob, let go till thou bless me. Now, Jacob, we know, was already blessed. He brought all of Laban's wealth. So we know that blessing is far greater than wealth, but he will include a wealth transference. This blessing is coming with a wealth transference for this final generation. But that's not what that all that blessing's about. He's going to multiply and increase, and he's going to bring out that word that's been inside. He's going to bring that government out, and he's going to stay with it, and he is going to oversee it, and he will be with you. I mean, you think about Jacob. God was fighting his battles for him, dismantling. The Bible said he reproved kings for their sake. That's part of the blessing. When it gets on you, when he is operating with you like that, see, when he stands with you in an eyewitness state and he commissions you, that's what he was doing. He was commissioning Jacob, but he was actually commissioning Israel. That was the first commission. The second was his corporate commission, which is in El Bethel. We'll get there in a minute. But corporate commission is when God bound himself to bring that blessing out until nations and a company of nations and kings came out of his loins. God was going to see to it, and God promised and swore that he would do it. Once he commissions it, God doesn't go back. He is on it. Amen? He's going to stay with it. That is what's about to happen. It's moving from promise to commission. It's moving from spiritual promise to the land of demonstration. Amen? What everybody's looking for. And when he does, he's going to have power and authority and dominion. Somebody needs to say amen in here. He's coming with power. That's what the power's for. It is the power and the glory and the works. They're there to substantiate what's being said. That's what the Lord said. If you cannot believe what I say to you, then believe these works. For they are testifying of who I say I am. Amen. The witness is coming. Part of that blessing is the witness. And it is the arrival of the seven spirits of God. It's the arrival of the crown. The age of the crown. The age of the dominion. Where the kings and priests will reign in the earth. Look at that. In Revelation 5, you're seeing kings and priests reigning in the earth. Revelation 13, all the people have been given over to the power of the Antichrist. There are two different things going on there. You don't get both of those in one thing. There are two different operations. It's the season of the rule and the reign, the crowning, the run of the white horse before we're taken out. And then the judgment of the nations. And then the people of God will be the Antichrist in the 7-year tribulation. He's going to have authority over the people. That's just the way it's going to be. Told Church Philadelphia, he said, I'm going to keep you from the hour of tribulation coming over the whole earth. We're kept in that contending there and saying, I will not leave. That's where we are. That's where we are. We are not going to leave until a couple things happen. We are not going to let go until a couple of things happen. The blessing. When the blessing comes, it's going to order the eyewitness and the seven spirits of God will arrive into the earth. That's awesome. That's what we've been waiting for. That's what we've been preaching into for 10 or 12 years. That is what all of that, it's the rolling out of everything God has said. It's what can now be seen. Say what can be seen. And so that's an awesome place to be because finally the unseen realm is going to be seen. Now we see it already. How many can already see it? Raise your hand. This is where the unseen and also the witness. It's not just seeing him by faith. It's seeing him. Why? Because he's going to ordain the word. He's going to also cause the fundamental transformation from Jacob to Israel. You can't be of the old order anymore. God has to shift you out of the old order. You're not going to be the orphan running around as an heir. He's going to take all of the old and shift it to the new. Amen. He shifts his identity. In fact, once he won the battle, and God was telling him, let go. You got to go on about your business. No, I'm not letting go till you bless me. He said, thou hast been a prince with God this day. And Yah has reigned with God and had been a prince with God. He goes, your name is no more Jacob. Your name is Israel. Well, that is what God has to do because the Church of Philadelphia is a church, it's a priesthood, but he's got to take us into royalty. He has to make that shift because he's opening the house of royalty to the church. He is going to crown the church. Zechariah 6, Revelation 3, a crown was given. He's not just going to give you something without the fundamental transformation of identity. You see that? So that blessing is going to bring that transfer. You can see it with Peter. When Peter was one man one day and the next man, the Spirit of God was on him and he was standing up. I mean, one day he's denying the Lord three times. The next day, when the Spirit of God comes on, he is confronting every one of the Sanhedrins. I mean, he is bold. Why? Because that's what God does. He transforms. That's what he's going to do with his church. He's about to bring his church to the forefront of the world. They're going to be hiding in back and letting the world system and the Babylonian heart dictate how this world's going to be. His church is about to come up, but it's not going to be in her present state. He's going to crown her. The seven eyes of omnipresent omniscience coming down. The seven horns of a dominion's coming down. There is a fundamental, he said, it's coming down. Amen. And so that fundamental transformation is done by God, but that's part of the blessing. The blessing causes that transitionary shift. That is where we are right now. We've wrestled a long time, but now we're not letting go. Say, I'm not going to let go till thou bless me. That's one thing he's taught us around here is how to keep his word. That is the number one thing I do beyond anything else is keep his word. That is my first priority because I know that word binds heaven to earth and it binds earth to heaven. And I know that if we keep it, we haven't let go, and if we don't let go, you will bring this down. But we're not where we used to be, because we used to be representing up there. Now we are bringing it into the earth, standing down. I mean, we stamp our feet down in this jurisdiction. Sometimes you feel like you're still in heaven, because you are. You're in that realm, but we're not going to let go till you bring all that here. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Why do all that? Because we have to identify what's been done. We have to get clothed in what's been finished, identify that it's finished, represent that it's been finished, see that it's been finished, recognize that, men like John and Peter saw the end. Not just saw it, but were there in real time when John walked that out. That is a huge, huge revelation. The fact that John just didn't see that. He was there in an eyewitness state in a future position with God, but eyewitness. So every event has already happened in heaven. We recognize, acknowledge, get clothed, see it, and then we bring all that here into the earth and decree it. That's part of what we're saying. I will not let go till thou what? Bless. And so we need to understand that that blessing, what all's in that? That blessing will last thousands of years beyond us. That blessing's going to birth a church. It's going to birth a testimony. It's going to birth a witness. It's going to birth a shaking of nations. But ultimately, the crown's coming in from him. And ultimately, the nations and the kingdoms of our God will be, the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our God. It's the legal crown that he brought up into heaven. He's bringing it down now. And he's calling us to stand therefore, right? So here it is. He commissions now Jacob, commissioning him to become Israel. He goes, what is your name, Jacob? He goes, you're no longer Jacob. You're Israel now. A prince, for you have reigned and overcome with God. And he goes, now you're ready. And he appears to him, and then Jacob, he calls the place Peniel. I've been face to face with God. He's had his face to face encounter. The blessing has come. He blessed him, and he decreed the transition. He decreed the change. When God decreed it, it's done. We're going to move from priest to king. There is a remnant body that will move to the reigning kings and priests of the last days. They will move into the royalty reigning of God, where dominion will be unleashed in an unprecedented manner. And it needs to happen now. I mean, you're seeing the nation set up to see the church come on the scene. It's not a church that's going to fix things through human sufficiency. It's a church that's going to demonstrate heaven from the realm of dominion and authority, glory, crown to do it. Amen. Commission to do it. Now, once he did this, he's ready to move. Once that came on him, once he shifted him, once he changed the name, once all of that had happened and he had prevailed, and God made the change, and God pronounced the change. See, we're moving from Joshua to Zerubbabel. You got to know that. We're moving through that. Amen? We're moving into that time frame from priest to king. He took Joshua in Zechariah 6. He put him on a king's throne, and they forged wealth out of Babylon in a crown. And they put him on a king's throne and crowned him, signifying what he would do in the last days. The crown would be given to the house. Now, once this happens, he's getting it ready to roll this out. Now he has to take him back to Bethel, where he originally gave the word, but now he's going to bring out that word in Bethel, and he calls it El Bethel, or the God of the house of God. Now he's not just meeting the glory of God, but he's meeting with the God of the house of God. That means God's now with him. That's part of the blessing. It's what the Lord said in John 14 when he said, I and my Father will what? Make our abode with you in the earth. I'll be a wall of fire about you and the glory in your midst. You will be the temple of the living God. As God said, I will walk in you. I will dwell with you. As he said, lift up your head, O you gates, lift up your head, you everlasting doors, and the Lord of King of Glory will what? Come in. See, it's the entrance of him coming through that veil. Amen? I want to look at Genesis 35 again. Now he's going to take him. He's ready. He changed the name. Now he's going to encounter him. He's going to take him to Genesis 35, and he's going to come in there now in Genesis 35, and he's taking him straight into Bethel. And the whole household, Jacob's saying, get rid of idols. I mean, he's cleansing everything. He knows that God is about to do something big. Genesis 35 is a huge position because now God is going to roll out everything that he's planted in him. He's changed him. He's made that transformation. The blessings on him, the witnesses on him, the spirits on him. He has it all. Now he's about to roll it all out. That's what's about to happen next. But we don't want to run right through the land of Peniel, because Peniel is the transitionary place of all things. That's where we are in spirit. Here's where we're going. Amen. Everything we do, we walk out by what? His word. His word will lead us perfectly. It's a lamp to our feet, a light to our path. We are being led by the word of God, by the revelation of God. And it's amazing. So now, Genesis 35, verse 9. Now God is, this is like the book of Acts. This is like Acts chapter 2. This is like, okay, roll it out now. That kind of thing. This is like Zechariah 4 when he said, they despise not the day of the small beginning. Think about this. He's starting with one man and some wives and the children. And he's going to bring a company of nations out. That's why he says, despise not the day of small beginning. He says, for you shall rejoice to see the plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel with those seven eyes that will what? Run to and fro the whole earth. Well, he's about to bring nations and a company of nations out of Jacob's loins. And once God does this in this particular position, he is going to bind himself to him for thousands and thousands and thousands of years to come. Even to this day, we name a nation after Israel because of what happened, and a people after him because God bound himself. This all happened right here. When these things get rolled out in this manner, God will stand with this, and he will continue to stand a long time after you're gone, but he'll stand a whole lifetime with you, and we got a lot to do. But there's going to be a lot going to happen even after we're out of here. Amen. It's going to continue to roll out. Glory to God. Amen. God said, verse 9, and God appeared unto Jacob again. And when he came out, now he's in Bethel now. Genesis 35, he told him, I'm going to bring you back here. He already said, he brought in, here he is. And he blessed him. And God said unto him, thy name is Jacob. But thy name shall no longer be called Jacob. Now, what he's doing here is he's not just speaking to Jacob. This is important. He's speaking to Jacob. He's speaking to what's going to come out of him now. He's speaking to his word in him. He's speaking to his seed in him. He's speaking to the promises. He's speaking to the nations and the company of nations that are going to come out of him. Now, he's also speaking to him from a finished position now. He's made the change. He's no longer Jacob. He's Israel. Say Israel. Thy name. In other words, everything I'm doing from the position of Israel now. In other words, when he crowns us, everything he's going to do is from the position of the king, Zerubbabel Christ, the king. Everything's going to come from the kingly realm now. Where everything came earlier from the priestly realm, it's coming out of the kingly realm now. Okay, so he says, thy name is Jacob. Thy name shall not be called anymore Jacob, but Israel shall be thy name. And he called his name Israel. Now God is going to, this is like the outpouring. This is symbolic of the outpouring right here. And God said, verse 11, I'm going to read this from the Young's literal. God said unto him, I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply. A nation, an assembly of nations is from you this day. And kings from thy loins go out of you today. And a land which I have given to Abraham and Isaac, to thee I give it, and to thy seed after thee I give the land. Did God do this or what? He did all of this. He brought a company of nations. He brought a people all the way to Christ, brought it out of him. And even natural Israel today is still multiplying because of what God said that day. When God does this, but he spoke it from the position of Israel before he had promised it from the position of Jacob. That's important. God's going to tell you things while you're Jacob, but he's going to do it when you're Israel. He didn't do it yet because he wasn't ready. He has said to us when we were in the former things, he promised things. But when he gets us over and he makes the change, the transformation, the Zerubbabel generation, now he will speak that and do it from that position. Where he was promising from one position, he will do it from that finish. So what he's doing here in Bethel is, I will now bring this out from you. This is not promise anymore. I, a company of nations, come out of you. Kings, come out from you today. A land is given to you today. It's yours. So God is speaking from a position that he finished in Jacob to Israel. See, that's important. God has to make the transformation in us, then he rolls it out. That's what's happening right now, is this transformation of this operation that happened in the land of Penuel, where he changed the name, where the eyewitness comes, the identity change, the seven spirits comes. And once that happens, he takes it to El Bethel. He says, now time to bring the global church out. Now time to bring the crown out to all nations. Now time for the white horse to run. These are the seven spirits of God. What? That run to and fro all the earth. Holy, 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 as the seraphim saw the time for the whole earth to be filled. You know, he told Moses this. I read this the other day. When Moses was there, it was in Numbers, when they brought that evil report back. It was like the promised land. And Moses said, oh, don't take the nation out. Don't take them out. The people said, look, you were with us, face to face with us. The people saw you, and they're going to say, you couldn't do this. You came down face to face, and you couldn't bring your people. He goes, all right, I'm going to save them. The 10, they're out of here. You know those 10 spies? Those 10 spies were head of their nation. They died that day. A plague took every one of them out that day because they poisoned the whole nation. He said, no, these are not going to stay. They poisoned the whole nation. 10 people poisoned the whole nation. Don't ever underestimate unbelief. Don't ever get around unbelief enough to let it poison you. Don't get around people that you think, when they start speaking unbelief, don't let that get in you. Because you let it'll poison you. Your faith is precious. It takes time to build an atmosphere of faith. It takes time to build a realm of faith around you. So don't get around people that will tear that down. You don't have to subject your faith to unbelief. It's precious. It takes so much for it to become that precious realm and that atmosphere where it's overcoming. See, that's what happened to Jacob. He came into the overcoming atmosphere. He prevailed with God in his faith. He prevailed. See, there's a time you're going to prevail, and you can't let anything happen to that. Amen? You got to protect that. You got to develop, and you got to protect it because it's precious. It's not easy to come by. It's easy to move into the ranks of unbelief. It's easy to operate in unbelief, to walk against the grain, to walk in the realm of faith, say faith. Keep that faith. Keep that atmosphere. And in Moses, God said, all right, Moses, I'm going to keep them, but the whole generation is going to die off, and I'm going to bring their children in. And he goes, all these 10, they're gone. That's my deal. I mean, Moses is not going to argue with him about it. You know, if God says they're gone, they're gone. But he says, as surely as I live it, there will be a time the whole earth will be filled with my glory. He said that to him. As surely as I live it, there's a time the whole earth will be filled with my glory. He says it in Isaiah, rise, shine, thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon me. Behold, darkness shall fill the earth, and gross darkness the people, but the Lord, what? The glory will be seen upon thee. The whole earth will be filled with the glory of God. The seraphim saw it during Isaiah's encounter. They saw the time the whole earth would be filled with the glory. It wasn't that time because the church was in apostasy, but they saw the day. That, I believe, is our hour. The whole earth will be filled with the glory of God. That's what we need to see. That's what we need to hold. That's what God's wanting to do. That's what he wants to roll out into all the nations. Amen? And that is where all of this is going, the rolling out of what's inside into all the nations of the earth. When God authorizes it, once there's eyewitness testimony, once his spirit's there, he'll stand by it himself, will come down like he said he would in John 14 and see to it that it's rolled out into all the nations. God will have a time in this last hour, the reigning of the kings and priests, where the whole earth will be filled with his glory. How many of you believe that? Happy because he already said it. Praise God. Let's give him glory. Hallelujah. There's a lot there with Jacob. We're tracking with Jacob. Glory to God. Running with the Lamb. Running with Jacob. We're running in there, but we're making the transition with him too. I can identify Jacob a lot in a lot of areas, but I can also, my faith, identify the overcoming prince, the reigning with God, because that's where we're going. Thou hast been a prince with God, and thou hast prevailed. Amen. We are a prevailing, overcoming generation. Amen. Let's give God glory.